The Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Initiative. It's supposed to expand the number of companies that receive classified information on threats from the government. While many companies are interested, few have decided to make that investment. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now to discuss the program and others like it that are trying to improve cybersecurity information sharing. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, first of all, what is this particular program, the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program, and why don't companies want to join in?
Well, the ECS, or Enhanced Cybersecurity Program, is actually the expanded version of the Defense Industrial Base pilot, where DoD was sharing classified or top-secret cyber threat or cyber indicators with certain companies in an effort to improve network security across the board. Now, the White House moved what they call the DIB program to the Homeland Security Department about a year ago, and then changed the name and expanded it in February as the executive order for cybersecurity around infrastructure protection came out. Now, the goal is pretty simple. It's not to replace existing cyber capabilities, but really to enhance them by sharing these indicators from a wide audience. Now, an indicator could be anything from a specific type of signature to malware to other types of data. Anything that says, hey, here's a threat and here's a vulnerability, here's what can be done or should be done or something you guys should think about. Now, ECS is only a one-way sharing from government to industry, and I think that's very important to understand. This is not a two-way sharing of classified data. This is a one-way sharing. There's currently, it's hard to say how many are in, but the latest count from DOD, when they were talking about the DIB program, there's about 37 companies in the program. Now, DHS expected many more to start joining, especially since the executive order, but things have been slow, and I think there's two main reasons. One is that ECS program hasn't been around in a long time, so I think that's probably the most obvious and easiest excuse. You know, it's only been since February when the executive order was signed. But I think there's a bigger reason, and I think it's a challenge for this program. Industry needs to understand the value of the information because then they'll understand why they need to make this significant investment in their systems and facility. Because to share classified data, to take in classified data, they have to have something called a SCIF. They have to have their systems have to meet certain rules and standards to accept classified data. Now, Jenny Mena is the DHS Director of Stakeholder Engagement and Cyber Information Resilience Division. She spoke yesterday at the Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board meeting in Washington. Now, she says there's about 54 companies who have expressed interest, but since it's a voluntary program and the government doesn't provide any funding, businesses, again, they have to decide if this investment is worth it. Now, I caught up with Greg Garcia. He's a former DHS Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity, now a consultant. He's also a member of the advisory board. He says the value of this information sharing program is clear.
I support the financial services ISAC, the Information Sharing and Analysis Center. They have dozens and dozens, sometimes well north of 100 emails a day among the various members, trading information about threats that they're seeing, certain attacks or phishing attempts. And the conversation goes around, are you seeing this? Yes, I'm seeing this. What are you doing with it? I'm doing this. And so they take that information back, and they're scanning their networks for the information that's being shared, and they are then therefore prepared. They are forewarned and they are forearmed. That kind of information feed comes from company members. It comes from the FSISAC itself. It comes from the U.S. CERT. It comes from partners and stakeholders all around the cybersecurity community.
Now, Garcia says this type of program is something DHS has long envisioned, so the fact that it is happening, it's coming to fruition, though a bit more slowly than many would like, is a positive sign.
Now, DHS is having more success with some of its other cyber information sharing programs. Tell us about those and how come they're doing better.
Well, I think the one that stood out from Jenny Mena's presentation yesterday was the Cyber Information Sharing and Collection Program. It's finding success partly because it's sharing unclassified data, so the investment for agencies or for vendors in this case isn't huge. Mena says DHS expanded. This was expanded from another pilot, one that started between DHS, DOD, and those financial services companies where they were sharing what they call unclassified indicators. Now there are 45 agreements in place across 14 different critical infrastructure sectors. Some are with companies and many are with the sector councils that you heard Greg Garcia talk about, the ISACs, about 13 sector councils or ISACs. Mena says this is a two-way information sharing pilot, effort, but DHS anonymizes the data, so they also share threats and indicators with federal agencies through the U.S. Computer Emergency Response Team, or U.S. CERT. The success of this information sharing program, I think, is more clear because the value is what's happening. You know, DHS is doing more to it. And in fact, they're trying to add more value to it. Mena says DHS hosts a quarterly meeting at both the classified and unclassified levels to share both the threat technology and mitigation best practices. Now, when it comes to both of these programs, Garcia says companies are approaching a little cautiously.
How secure is the information, the sensitive information that they are sharing, information that, if leaked, could present problems with reputation, customer confidence, et cetera. Other issues, we talked about the legal instrument that enabled that sharing, and the lawyers in DHS settled on a CRADA, a Cooperative Research and Development Agreement, which, among other things, stipulates that information shared within a CRADA environment becomes, in effect, community property, so you lose the rights to that intellectual property. That causes some companies a lot of heartburn, and it will prevent them from actually participating, or if they do participate, they might not do so as robustly as if that intellectual property sharing provision did not exist.
And Jason, I should say, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, meanwhile, legislation to promote information sharing on cyber really seems to be stalled again on Capitol Hill. Do these experiences, though, prove that it's not necessary in the first place?
Yeah, I think in many ways, these DHS programs are showing that legislation is, for the most part, isn't needed. Garcia and other experts say Congress has a role to play, mostly around providing vendors with liability protection against sharing information or tax data that could result in lawsuits.
Other than liability protections, I don't think legislation is particularly relevant in this case. And I think the future state that we should envision, I think, was well articulated in a paper written by DHS a couple of years ago referring to the cyber ecosystem, which envisioned a network of networks that are self-aware, self-healing. It involves machine-to-machine information sharing, malware detection, et cetera. And the more that we can get automated, the more we remove the human element that has some of those sticky social issues, political issues like privacy and liability, that's the future state we should be looking at. But in the meantime, we still need to build out these trust relationships in any form that we can find that works.
Now, you heard Mr. Garcia talk about that trust relationships, and I think that's the key here. DHS and the government needs to get the industry to trust them, recognize the value. Now, as we talked about earlier, DHS's Mena says about 54 companies express interest in the Enhanced Cybersecurity Program. Few have actually signed up. Now, DHS is trying to make things easier. They're trying to make what they call machine-to-machine sharing of information through using such standards as what's something called STICS and other industry-recognized approaches. Mena says that DHS realizes this first attempt at creating these programs will not be perfect. There's definitely room for improvement. So the more vendors participate, the quicker they can get to that improved state.
Sounds like they've got chopsticks. Now, Jason, my question is, earlier you said a lot of vendors don't like the investment they have to make. What is the investment? What do they have to buy and invest in order to be able to share information with DHS on cyber threats?
Well, on the classified side, this is just for the classified sharing of information. So the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services, they need two basic things. They need something called a SCIF, which is a secure facility, a room that they can talk about classified stuff. And, you know, basically every intelligence agency, a lot of non-intelligence agencies also have SCIFs.
Like with a dryer running, kind of like Tony Soprano, so
exactly.
It's noisy in there.
Exactly. It's something where that you know, you can't bring in any electronic equipment, something that's a secure room in many ways. The other investment is a systems investment, meaning if they're going to receive classified data from the government, you don't receive it on paper and then make it electronic. You receive it electronically. Well, they got to be able to have the systems in place, the security pieces in place to receive that classified data. So it's not just, hey, I'll hook up into the internet and plug it in. There's a fair amount of work that has to be done before they can start receiving it. And in fact, DHS has to approve them. So there's basically a three-step process they have to go through, get the approval, sign the agreement, and then make the investment to put the pieces in place.
All right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thank you for that report.
My pleasure.